good to see all of you. It's so wonderful for us to be back in the house of the Lord, right? Yeah? So it's always a joy for us to be able to gather as God's people, just celebrating God's goodness upon our lives. And for those of you joining us on our online platform, shalom to you as well. Wherever you're tuning in from, just want to welcome you and thank you for being part of our worship celebration as well, although virtually. Yeah? So if you could make your way here to be with us in person, that would also be wonderful. Now, church, can I invite you all to stand to your feet? We're going to read the passage of Scripture together. Now, today I'll be sharing from Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 19. Now, let's read loud together, loudly, so that our neighbors can hear us. Can we? Are you ready? Let's read from the screen so that we're all reading from the same version of the Bible. On the count of three. One, two, and three. Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 that he appointed. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Come, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words of yours that has been given to us and been preserved over the centuries. And even, Father, as we glean, O God, Father, from these words of yours, we want to pray that, God, may you speak to us, O God, and stir our hearts to respond, so that, God, we will not just be hearers of your words, but be also be practitioners, O God, of it as well. And so I want to thank you, Lord Father, for this time that, God, we can sit at the feet of Jesus to hear you speak to us through your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, church, I'm not sure whether you realize it or not. This weekend is actually the final weekend of the first half of the year. Yeah? In exactly 6 months' time, we will be celebrating Christmas. And we will be ushering in the year 2023. Scary, isn't it? And time flies, really? Maybe you can say to the person next to you, wow, time flies. You see, now that we are at the midpoint of the year, I just believe that and sense that as a church, we should pause and just reflect on what we are set out to do this year. And if you remember at the start of the year, Pastor Chris casted for us a vision. And that is to reach the least and the lost. And that's why we have the banner up there that says that. Why? Because he says that people are important to God. We all agree with that? Yep. You agree with that? Say amen now to encourage me. Okay. Now, this is also in line, of course, with our tagline, right? To love God, to serve people, and to make disciples towards a Christ-likeness. And that means to help others to become like Jesus. Now, before we can help others to become like Jesus, we ourselves need to be like Jesus. Amen? And for us to be, in order for us to be like Jesus, we need to be with Jesus. And that's the big idea that I want to present to us today. And that is, be with Jesus, to be like Jesus, to the least and the lost. You see, being with him was in fact the call Jesus gave to the 12 disciples, and by extension also to us, as we have read in the passage just now, in verses 13 and 14. And here it says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. You see, Jesus' intent was very clear. The 12 disciples were called and appointed with a purpose, and that is to be sent out by Jesus, to be Jesus' messengers. Now, that actual sending out, however, did not happen immediately after the call. It only took place 3 chapters later in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, which we're going to look at afterwards. So in these 3 chapters, between Mark chapter 3 and Mark chapter 6, the disciples were with Jesus. And when they were with Jesus, something incredible happened in their lives. They became Jesus' friends. And not only that, they also became kingdom disciples and transformed disciple makers. You know, for us church, we too are called to be with Jesus and to become like the disciples in this regard. And I'll explain to you why and what this means, starting with being Jesus' friends. You see, having a close friendship and relationship with Jesus is the most foundational and fundamental aspect of our Christian faith. And we become Jesus' friends when we are with him and obey his commands, as Jesus himself tells us in John chapter 15, verse 14, where he says, these are the words of Jesus, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." So a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with Jesus is formed and developed when we are with him and when we hear and obey his commands, his words, and that is to believe in him, to trust him, and to follow his instructions and to do his will. And that was also, in fact, what Jesus said in the last section of Mark chapter 3. You see, in this account, Jesus was in the house. And at that time, he was facing oppositions from the religious leaders and teachers. And also from his family members, he also received disapproval as well. And so the family members of his came to that house, and when they were outside the house at the door, the crowd shouted to Jesus, "Hey, Rabbi, your mother and your brothers are here looking for you. They're here to see you." And this was Jesus' response in Mark chapter 3, verse 34 and 35. And then he, Jesus, looked at those seated in the circle around him, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, my sister, my mother." In other words, what Jesus is saying here is that whoever does the will of God is closer to him than any of his blood relatives. Now, this, however, does not mean that Jesus was suggesting for us to stop caring and loving our parents, because that would be an unthinkable idea in our Asian context, more so in our Malaysian culture, right? Right? Encourage me a bit, right? Yes, okay. That was not Jesus' intent. Because he later taught in Mark chapter 7, when he was admonishing the religious teacher, the Pharisees, the law experts, that honoring our parents, our father and mother, is an essential part of worshiping God. And Jesus himself exemplifies that responsibility by ensuring that his mother was cared for when he was hanging on the cross. As we are told in John chapter 19, verse 26 to 27, where it says, "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home." So Jesus is not telling us to disregard family ties. What he's saying here is that there's a bond that comes in God's family, which is deeper and richer than the bond in the human family. And that deep bond and relationship with Christ and his people is established when we love him more than our nearest and our dearest. And Jesus is inviting us, you and me, to be his close friends and to experience his friendship today. The Gospel Church calls us to trust Jesus as our Savior and to submit to him as our King. But it also says to enjoy Jesus as our friends. And here in Jesus is a true friend who has demonstrated his love for us by taking our place on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And I like what Drew Hunter says in his book, Made for Friendship. He says, "Friendship is in the deepest heart of Christ and is at the very center of the gospel." And this is so true, right? Because if we look at the life and ministry of Jesus, we will notice that he welcomes anyone and everyone to be his friends, including unpopular people like the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the poor, the marginalized, the sick, and the diseased, and the demon-possessed. Jesus accepted each and every one of these for who they were and not for what they could offer. And being a friend of Jesus, we must emulate him as we serve, as we minister, and as we reach out and relate to others, especially the least and the lost. And I find this to be a very powerful outreach model, because people listen to us when we treat them respectfully, sincerely, and genuinely as friends and not as evangelistic projects. Why? Because people need to be loved and belong before they believe. So being with Jesus is the first outcome of being with being Jesus' friends is the first outcome of being with Jesus. And the second is this: we will become kingdom disciples. You see, when we follow Jesus, it's imperative that we become kingdom disciples, because advancing his kingdom is the primary agenda of God. Now, the kingdom disciples is where God reigns and rules. And this kingdom was ushered in when Jesus came to this world, this earth of ours 2,000 years ago. And it will be fully consummated when Jesus returns one day. And I believe that all of us seated here in this auditorium, including those of you online, you're looking forward to Jesus coming back again one day. Amen? And if you have a deadline to meet tomorrow, you'll probably be praying for Jesus to come back tonight. So in the meantime, while we are waiting and waiting for Jesus to return, we are called to live out of faith that represents this kingdom on earth, both to other believers as well as to those who have yet to believe. And that's the reason why the first thing that Jesus did after he had called the disciples to be with him was to give them the vision of the kingdom. And Jesus did this through a series of three parables: the parable of the sower, which all of us are very familiar with, the parable of the growing seed, and the parable of the mustard seed. Now, these three parables are actually part of a collection of seven parables that are called the parables of the kingdom, or kingdom parables. The others are found in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. And these are called kingdom parables because they give us a glimpse of the kingdom of God. And they describe to us the nature, the characteristics, and the great value of this kingdom. And so here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught from these parables. At that time, to a large crowd by the lake, beginning with the parable of the sower. And in it, Jesus explained how different people would respond to the gospel, which of course are very clear and make sense to all of us, especially to our modern and informed minds today. But to these early disciples, they needed an explanation, they needed an interpretation of it. And so they came to Jesus and asked, "Rabbi, can you please explain to us what these parables actually mean?" To which Jesus did, with a preamble in Mark chapter 4, in the first part of verse 11, where he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you." And so it was on this premise, Jesus then went on to explain that as these seeds, which represent the good news of the kingdom, are being planted, different heart conditions will facilitate different growths. And growth is in fact the common theme across all these three parables. In the case of the parable of the sower, for example, we are told in Mark chapter 4, verse 20, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown, indicating not just growth, but growth in an increasing measure. Then in the parable of the growing seed, in verse 26 and 27, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. And this growth is described in a very explicit manner in verse 28. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. And finally, in the parable of the mustard seed, in verse 30. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. So the kingdom of God will start out in a very small and humble way, like the mustard seed. But it will grow to become greater and bigger than its original starting size. And we, people living in the 21st century today, are able to witness this coming to pass because 1/3 of the world population today are Christians. And we celebrate and rejoice with that, right? But we want to believe that this kingdom of God will continue to grow because a significant number of people around the world have yet to know Jesus and accepted Jesus into their life as a Lord and Savior. In fact, statistically, 25% of people in the world today are living in places where they have got no access to the gospel. And many of these are the least and the lost, living as broken people in broken societies which human wisdom and material resources would not and could not heal. Only God, the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of the whole universe, can. And this God wants to do that through us as he invites us to partner him in this kingdom advancing project. Because kingdom disciples are to catch the kingdom vision and live a life that is defined and shaped by kingdom values. And that transformed lives need to be seen and replicated and propagated. And what this means is that our God-given purpose on earth does not stop at us being kingdom disciples. We are also to become kingdom disciple makers. And for that to happen, we need to be connected to Jesus, with him being the vine and we the branches. Now, I used to have a tree outside my house. And one day, it was struck by lightning. And one of the branches fell to the ground. And as I was observing that branch, and I noticed that that branch has continued to be fresh and continued to be green for a period of time. And it only began to show signs of withering after about a week later. You see, our spiritual life is also like that. We would also wither if we are detached or be apart from Jesus. We might still be able to function somewhat and serve with some impact for a period of time, but not for long, and definitely not forever. So if you are disconnected from Jesus, today is a good day and a good time for you to be reconnected with him once again. We need to be with Jesus constantly, and we need to be with him continuously and closely as well, conversing with him regularly. And by that, I do not mean that we just pray all the time, pray for our food, for example. Every day, we have 3 meals, our breakfast, our lunch, and our dinner, we pray. And then when we couldn't find a parking space, we pray and ask God to give us a parking space. No, that is a way of showing our faith to God and conversing with Him. But what is deeper, in a deeper way, we need to be conversing with Jesus constantly throughout the day, just allowing Him to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. And that is the true and most meaningful way of conversing with Jesus. And we need to feel His heartbeat as well, all the time, so that we can grow to be more and more like Him. And so that we can become transformed disciple makers, which is my third and final point. You see, when we follow Jesus and abide in Him, He will transform us from the inside out. And this transformation is an ongoing process when we do and continue to do God's will. And it's a process that involves us being spiritually developed so that we could live all of our lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and make Him the center of our life. And the amazing thing is this, even while we are still in the process of being transformed and refined and changed, Jesus will use us. He will use us to impact the world around us. He will use us to transform our families, our communities, and our nation. And He will use us to make disciples of the nations. And He will use us to reveal God's kingdom in and through our lives as He chooses and qualifies us, the unqualified. And that was what Jesus did with the 12. Because when we look through the list of names in Mark chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, we see a group of very ordinary, untrained, untested people. This is what it says, verse 16. These are the 12 that Jesus appointed, Jesus. Simon. Who is Simon? Simon was a fisherman, untrained, uneducated. And Simon was so weak that Jesus has to give him the name Peter, which means rock, right? And then we've got James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, also fishermen. To them, He gave the name Boanerges, which sounds like no energy in Hokkien. But actually, the name means sons of thunder. Andrew, the brother of Peter, also a fisherman. Philip, Bartholomew, we do know their background. Matthew, a tax collector. Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, also we do know their background as well. Simon the Zealot, a revolutionist. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. You know, one day there was this man who came to a theologian and he asked him this question. Sir, why did Jesus choose Judas Iscariot to be His disciple? This theologian thought for a while. And then he replied, this man. He said, Son, I do not know. But I have an even harder question. Why did Jesus choose me? Why did Jesus choose you, friends? Have you ever thought about that? Why, of all people around the world, that Jesus has chosen you to be included in His family, to be here for you, even to be seated here, and for you, those of you who are with us online? You see, there are no superheroes in the kingdom of God. Only sinners saved by grace. And grace is all that is needed. And what Jesus said to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, He's also saying the same to us today. My grace is sufficient for you, and My power is made perfect in weakness. God's grace is surely sufficient for us. And God's power indeed worked through his very imperfect disciples when he sent them out that day, as we are told in Mark chapter 6, verse 7. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. And then in verse 12, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Now, how were the disciples able to do all this? Because they had been with Jesus. When they were with Jesus, they saw with their own eyes how Jesus demonstrated his authority power when he calmed the storm, restored the demon-possessed man, raised the dead girl, and healed the sick woman. And before Jesus went back to heaven, he promised those who had been with him that he would send them the Holy Spirit, as we are told in John chapter 14, and that they would do even greater things than all this. And that became a reality. And the disciples were empowered by the Spirit to have mountain-moving faith and the ability to speak with courage and confidence to the rulers, the elders, and the experts of the law in Jerusalem. And this is what we are told in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When there, the rulers, the elders, and the law experts saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished. And they took note that this man had been with Jesus. So you see, the courage of this man were attributed to them having been with Jesus. You see, we too, church, can have such spiritual enablements when we are with Jesus. And I've seen all these things, many of these things happening during my many trips, my many mission trips to different places, especially to Nepal. I saw those who were sick being healed. I saw the demon possessed being delivered. I saw the lame walk. I saw God performing many miraculous wonders and intervening miraculously in many of our situations. Well, I have not seen the dead being raised yet. Perhaps one day I will. And all this happened not because we are special or great or extraordinary, but simply because God's power was working through us, his ordinary vessels. And so the spiritual enablements were given not without a purpose. They are signs of the kingdom. They point people to Jesus. And they are proofs of God's power and of his love. You see, Jesus' primary intent was to transform lives with the gospel. And that's the whole process and whole purpose of the earthly ministry of Jesus, because God wants to draw people into his kingdom, to transform them into Christ likeness, in order that there would be his transformed disciple makers. And for us, that means making disciples that make disciples that make disciples that make disciples, reproducing ourselves in the lives of others, just as how Jesus has reproduced himself in the lives of his early disciples and subsequently also to us. And to do that, we must intentionally connect with not only the least, but also the lost. We must intentionally pursue opportunities that and maximize our kingdom impact. And we must intentionally train and raise up godly men and women across generations. And I envision us as a church doing that as every one of us goes out and invades the many and different societal arenas with kingdom values. And this will require us to be salt and light in our workplaces, in our schools, colleges, universities, in our homes, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. In fact, in all spheres, our spheres of influence. And we need to. For example, for some of us, we may need to go to places where people are. In fact, that should be the aim of ours, to go to places where people are. For example, some of you may want to join your residence association or a hobby group or interest group. My wife is a member of the Selangor Gardening Society because that is her interest, not mine. I cannot plan. Pastor Gilbert is interested, his hobby is cycling. That is his cycle of influence. Pastor Moihan, for example, he loves to play badminton. Well, that is his interest group. And some of us may need to go back to those whom we have helped and served during the pandemic, during the lockdowns. For many of these, were not just or are not just the least, but they are also the lost. And it could also mean for some of us to prayer walk where we live, or where we work, or where we study, and proclaim, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And when we do that, we will usher in the kingdom of God on earth and sharing this transforming power of the gospel to the least and to the lost while awaiting the return of King Jesus. Amen. Once again, my big idea, be with Jesus to be like Jesus to the least and the lost. Be with Jesus as his friends. Be like Jesus as kingdom disciples with a kingdom vision. And be for Jesus to be his transformed disciple makers to the least and the lost. At the start of my message, I mentioned that we are now at the midpoint of the year. So I want to close with a question and a challenge for all of us here today. And my question is simply this. What have you done in the last 6 months with regard to what we have set out to do this year? And my challenge is this. What are you going to do in the next 6 months with regard to what you have received and learned? Let's now come to the Lord in prayer. And there are two groups of people that I want to speak to today. The first are those who are not Christians. You have not invited Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior. Or you may have been a Christian, but you have been detached and disconnected from Jesus for a while now. And today, Jesus is here and he's inviting you to be his friends. Now, I made the decision to have Jesus as my friend 24 years ago. At that time, it was in 1997, there was this great economic crisis, some of you know. And I was badly affected. I lost almost everything that I had, including my car. And so as a result of that, I had to take the public transport to work every day. And at that time, I was staying in Rawang. And I had to walk for about 15 minutes to the bus stop, take a bus to the town, and then take a train to KL, and take an LRT to PJ. 2 hours one way, 4 hours every day. And my friend said to me, "Well, I don't think you will last for 1 week doing this." Anyway, I did that for a few months before I got back in my car again. But those 4 hours every day was the most amazing time and the most amazing experience I ever had in my life. Because whenever I was walking on the road, I could feel Jesus walking with me. Whenever I was sitting in the bus, in the train, in the LRT, I could feel Jesus sitting next to me. Jesus was there with me throughout the entire time as my friend. And this is the friend of ours who has given his life to die on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. And this Jesus is right now inviting some of us here to open your hearts to Him so that He can come into your life and be your friend. And all you need to do is to say a simple prayer to Jesus. Sorry, thank you, please. Sorry for the sins that you've committed in your life, the wrong things that you've done in your life. Thank you, thank Him, thank Jesus for dying the cross for your sins. And please, asking Jesus to please come into your life to be a Lord and Savior. And if that's your desire today, friends, it'd be my privilege and my joy to lead you in saying this prayer to invite Jesus into your life. And for those of you seated here today, if you do not know Jesus yet, you're not Christian, or you are backslidden from God for a long time or a period of time, I invite you to raise your hand so that I know where you are and I can pray for you as well. Anyone? Now, I can't see very clearly because I just had an eye operation recently and I've just gotten my specs. But I trust that some of you here may want to do that today. And those of you watching online as well, wherever you are, you may want to open your hearts to invite Jesus into your life. And even for those of you who have not raised your hand, if you want to do that, I'd like to do a prayer with you together. And you could just pray along with me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Please come into my life, your Holy Spirit, to be with me forever. As you come into my life, be my Savior, my King, and my friend. And thank you, Jesus. Amen. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that God, those who have said this prayer, may you, oh God, seal that right now, Father, in their hearts. Enable, God, Father, these children of yours, Father, as they live out their faith, you give them strength. You give them the joy that will be their strength. And fill their hearts with the peace of yours as you lead them and guide them, your Spirit of yours, all the days of their lives. Amen. And for those of you who say that prayer and you're on our online platform, there's a raise hand button. And there's also a QR code on the screen that you can scan and fill your details so that we can just give you some materials for you to help you in this journey of faith that you just started. And for those who have stayed this prayer, whether you raise your hand or not, later on, I'd like to invite you to come to the front and talk to one of the pastors here to indicate that you have said that prayer so that we can pray for you and also give you some resources. Now, for the rest of us, I do not know about you and your condition, the condition of your heart today. But I believe that God is already speaking to some of us with regard to how we could offer our lives to be His kingdom disciples and to be His transformed disciple makers. And I want to pray a prayer for everyone here so that even as we are offering ourselves, God will empower us and enable us to do what He's designed us for. So can I invite every one of you to stand so I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Just Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord Father, for your goodness upon our lives. And just want to thank you, Lord Father, for all that, Lord, you have done in our lives to enable us, oh God, to have you as our friend, Lord Jesus Christ. And even, Lord Father, as we offer ourselves to you, may you enable us to receive from you your grace that will empower us, your grace that will enable us to live out a life that will truly glorify you, a life that will reflect the kingdom of yours on earth. And so, Lord, I pray that God may fill every one of us here, all my brothers and sisters standing, as well as those who are online, your Spirit once again, as you empower us to do what you have called us to. And I thank you and I praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Let's sing this last song together as we close.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Yes, Heavenly Father, in all that we do, God, we want to honor you and we want to glorify you. And in all that, God, you design us for, we just want to pray that, God, may you enable us, oh God, to continue to walk in tandem with your Spirit all the days of life. We give you praise. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands, friends, as we receive the benediction. Thank you, Lord, for the infilling of Spirit, even as we continue to live out our lives in such a way that, God, may you enable us, oh God, to have that connection with you. We praise you, we glorify you. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his great and perfect peace. Amen. God bless you, church. We'll see you again next weekend.